Now I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the portion of Scripture we read there in the Gospel of John. In John's Gospel and the chapter 1, with the word of the Lord now open before us, let us now unite our hearts in prayer and seek the Lord's help. Well, loving God and eternal Father, we draw once again unto thee. We know, Lord, thou art never weary of our much coming. But, Lord, thou dost delight to hear thy children pray. And, O Lord, I come to thee now and pray that thou would be pleased to grant to me the help of the Holy Spirit of God, that, Lord, I might be enabled to preach the word. And in preaching the word, I will always endeavor to preach Christ. Speak well of him, his finished work, and his shed blood. Put the blood, Lord, upon the meeting now, and bless this congregation. Grant that in all things the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be exalted and he will be given all of the glory. In his dear name we pray. Amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And our text for this morning is that verse 29. We read in verse 29, "And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The answers which John the Baptist gave to those who challenged him regarding his identity, those answers were very brief. You read there from verses 19 to 23. You will find there in those verses that John said very little about himself. And in those answers that he gave, he spoke more about Christ. Indeed, John never had much to say about himself, but he always had plenty to say about his Savior and his Master. He was like the psalmist David, because David said in Psalm 34, verse 2, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of and be glad." And we will see this morning that it's exactly what took place under the ministry of John. John was not the man to say much about himself. Remember what he said? That Christ would increase and that he would decrease. Really, in many ways, that's a summary of John's life and ministry. We should remember also, John's public ministry did not last more than 6 months to a year. But that ministry of John was filled with the Lord Jesus. A minister of many years ago told the story of a certain gentleman who listened to the preaching of two distinguished ministers one Lord's Day. Writing about his experience, he said, "In the morning, I could not see the master for the man." And then speaking about the other minister that he had heard, he said, "In the evening, I could not see the man for the master." That really was the preaching of John the Baptist. For any who came unto him to hear him preach, they did not see the man, but they most certainly did see the Master. The story is told by an English merchant called Mr. Woodrow. Mr. Woodrow had an occasion to visit Scotland on business. It was about the year 1650. On his return home, his friends asked him, had he any news that he could bring to them from visiting the north, visiting Scotland? Good news, he said. For when I went to St. Andrews, I heard a sweet, majestic little man, and he showed me the majesty of God. After him, I heard a little fair man, and he showed me the loveliness of Christ. That little fair man was none other than the Reverend Samuel Rutherford. Rutherford was a man who always made much of Christ and had much to say about the loveliness of the Lord Jesus. This he did in his letters, in his writings, and most certainly in his preaching. John the Baptist was a man who made much of Christ, for he was, as a man, a voice of one crying in the wilderness. And one day that voice cried out, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I want to look at this preacher of Christ, this John the Baptist, this morning. I want, first of all, to consider the focus of John's ministry. It is very clear from the words of our reading who John focused on in his ministry. This we know when we look at, first of all, John's sight of Christ. John's sight of Christ. We read in verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him. John seeth Jesus. In fact, from verse 29 to verse 36, you will see that no less than five times do we read about John and his seeing of Christ. Five times. So John always had his eyes upon the Savior, always looking towards Christ. The Lord, of course, referred to John and said, what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. Luke 7, verse 26. So Christ described John as a prophet, yea, much more than a prophet. Now, what is interesting is that a prophet is described in 1 Samuel 9 and verse 9 as a seer. And so there's Christ, and he describes John as a prophet, yea, more than a prophet. And we go to the Old Testament, and we find that a prophet is described as a seer. And so John the Baptist, a prophet, was most certainly a seer. He was a seer of Christ. He always had his eyes upon him. That's where his focus was. Whenever John preached, his focus was always on Jesus Christ. Always. John the Baptist, a prophet. Just like the Old Testament prophets. They looked forward. They were seers. They looked forward to see Christ. This we know from the words of the Savior. You remember when he drew near and went with those two amazed disciples? And then he opened to them, we're told, at the Scriptures, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. From Moses and throughout all the prophets and all the Scriptures, he expounded unto those disciples those things concerning himself. What a ministry that must have been for those Emmaus disciples, to have Christ preach Christ as he's revealed in the Old Testament Scriptures. And so we can see Christ in all of the Scriptures, including the Old Testament prophets, for they saw him, looking forward to him. And they wrote about him. And they preached him. In that sense, the minister of the gospel ought to be a seer. That is, he must always see Christ. No matter which portion of Scripture he's preaching from, he ought to be looking for Christ. He ought to have his focus there. Doesn't matter where he preaches from, anywhere, Christ is found there. See, as Spurgeon tells the story about a retired minister, and he visited this church one day, and there was a young man was the preacher for that day. And the young man knew the retired minister was sitting there, and after the service was over, he went to the retired minister. Maybe it wasn't a good idea, but he went to him. And they asked him, "Well, brother, how do you think I did today?" He said, "You did all right, but you didn't preach Christ." And the young man said, but Christ was not in the text." And the retired minister said, "You think about England." He says, "It doesn't matter where you are in England, all roads lead to London." He says, "All roads, all verses, all chapters, all books in the Bible, they all lead to Christ." The young man got the message. And whenever he would come to preach from wherever in the Bible, he was to focus on Jesus Christ. He was to have a sight of Christ. So we see also John's sight of Christ. We next notice what John said about Christ. The moment he saw the Lord Jesus, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Verse 29, again, our text. These words show us how John promoted Christ. He said, "Behold." He promoted Christ. "Behold the Lamb of God." He drew attention to Christ when he said, "Behold." It's interesting. That word, "behold," is a word that means to see. Brings us back to our previous point. A prophet is a seer. John was a prophet, more than a prophet. And John always saw Christ. And here he says to those who were around him, "Behold, see," he's saying, "see, there's the Lamb of God. Look, I want you to look upon the one whom I see. Isn't that the business of the preacher? Oh, yes, always is. The business of the preacher is to promote Jesus Christ, to cry to all who listen, behold, behold, look, see, the Lamb of God. He's not there to promote himself. He's not there to promote the preacher. He's not there to promote a party. He's not there to promote a place. He's there in the pulpit to promote a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God demands of us as preachers. Isaiah 45, verse 22, God said, look unto me. Look, see. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Because you see, there is no salvation in looking to men or to methods. But there is salvation in looking to Christ. That's all. You remember the Greek worshipers wanted? Remember? They came to the disciples one day and said to Philip, sir, we would see Jesus. Boy, that's good. Sir, we would see Jesus. They weren't interested in seeing Christ's followers. They were only interested in seeing Christ's face. They weren't interested in seeing Christ's people. But they were interested in seeing Christ's person. Sir, we would see Jesus. I have that text, those words, on my pulpit there in Port Hope. Sir, we would see Jesus. That's my business, to show people Christ. And when we attend the house of God, that ought to be our prayer as well. Sir, we would see Jesus. That must always be the business of the preacher. Focus on Christ. Always promoting Jesus Christ. What did we sing this morning there, that hymn of Charles Wesley? I love the words of the, particularly of the last verse. His only righteousness I show, his saving truth proclaim. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, behold the Lamb. Happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp his name, preach him to all and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb, behold the Lamb. So we have seen how John promoted Christ. Behold. We see also how John presented Christ. How did he present him? Well, he presented him as the Lamb of God. No, he didn't say, behold, Jesus of Nazareth. No, he said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. A Jewish audience would be familiar with the figure of the Lamb. Lambs, of course, as we know, are offered daily in the temple and every year at the Passover feast. And the slaying and offering up of a lamb, of course, were typical. And the offering up of the lamb foreshadowed of what would take place one day on the cross of Calvary. The Jews had offered a lamb in their ceremonies. But here John goes a step further. Here John says, "Behold, the Lamb." He's not just any lamb. "Behold, the Lamb, the Lamb of God." And type again, the lambs sacrificed in Jewish altars were presented to God in the behalf of sinners, and they were accepted on the ground of that lamb being offered and the blood being shed, all pointing forward to the Lamb of God. Such offerings and sacrifices foreshadowed the atoning work of Christ. They only foreshadowed the atoning work of Christ, for not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or take away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away. That word "taketh" is a word that which means beareth. Isn't that interesting? Beareth away our sins. Isn't that what Christ did for his people on the cross of Calvary? Didn't he bear their sins? Didn't he bear the punishment for our sins? And where are our sins today? What though the accuser roar of evils I have done? Sure, I know them all and thousands more. But Jehovah findeth none. Why? Because Christ, the Lamb of God, has borne them all away. The Apostle John said, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away, to bear away our sins, and in him is no sin." No sin, yet he was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what needs to be done more and more. The preaching of the Lamb, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the blood, the preaching of the atoning work. Yea, and to cry day after day, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." We've seen what John said about Christ. We've seen John's sight of Christ. We notice here also John's study of Christ. John the Baptist was a true preacher of Christ because he was one who studied his subject. Twice over, in this passage we have read this morning, John confessed, "And I knew him not," speaking about the Lord. Verse 31 and verse 33. John said, "And I knew him not." Now we may ask, well, how did John get to know the Lord? If you look carefully at the words in verse 31 through to verse 34, you read through those words, and you notice again the reference to John seeing Christ. The word "seeth" that we have in our text And the next day John seeth Jesus. That word seeth is the Greek word blepo. It means to perceive. It means to understand. So when John saw Christ, it wasn't as if he was just looking in to the distance and not really taking in what he saw. No. We read that next day John seeth Jesus. The word means to perceive, means to understand. In other words, John was saying, I perceive and I understand this person. I know who he is. This is the Lamb of God. But other words for see, there in verse 33, means to know, to be acquainted with. And then in verse 34, there the word I saw means to discern, or now I know. The teaching in all of this is the more of Christ that John saw, the more he got to know Christ. And so, dear people, today, the more we see of the Lord Jesus in his word, and when we look into the word and when we read the word, whether it's our daily reading or we're studying some particular matter, always be looking for the Lord Jesus, because he's there. Remember what he told the mass disciples, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. And for us to know Christ, we need to study Christ. That's what John did. Isn't that what a preacher needs to do? Needs to study. Needs to study the Word and get more and more acquainted with Christ. To know Him and have a deeper knowledge of Him. But isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we want, believer? The deeper knowledge of the Lord. Remember what Paul said? And he spoke these words as an aged apostle. He was an old man by the time he spoke these words. What were those words? That I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and made conformable unto his death. Philippians 3 and 10. There he is, an aged servant of God. And what is his prayer? That I may know him. Want to know the Lord in a deeper and a fuller way. That's the way it was with John. He studied Christ. He saw Christ. He had always his eyes upon the Lord Jesus. And what did that lead to? He had much to say about Christ. So we have considered the focus of John's ministry. Next we see the followers and John's ministry. John the Baptist's message about the Lamb of God did not fall on deaf ears. We read in verse 35, again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. There's the followers of Christ through John's ministry. Here we see, first of all, John repeating his message. Once again, John has his eyes upon the Lord Jesus, and once more, he delivers the same message. Verse 29. The next day, John saith Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 35. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. Same message. In verse 29, his message was, Behold the Lamb of God. In verse 36, his message was, Behold the Lamb of God. He was consistent in his preaching of Christ. The message he preached the day before was the message that he preached the day after. And the point is, John always preached Christ. It didn't matter what day of the week it was. It didn't matter where he was. It didn't matter if he was in the wilderness of Judea or he was at the River Jordan. It didn't matter where he was. It didn't matter if he was speaking to a few people or to a multitude. His message was the same. He preached Christ. All who would go to hear John preach, they would know what they would hear. They would know what John would preach. We mentioned there earlier that John the Baptist had a very short public ministry. 6 to 12 months at the most. But his life was filled with Christ. Just a short period of time in his life of his public ministry, but that short period was full of the Lord. Full of Christ. Robert Murray McShane died in his 30th year. McShane had a short life, but again, he's numbered with those faithful servants who filled his life with the preaching of the Lord Jesus. So the message of Christ and his cross work needs to be preached over and over and over and over again. And it's my prayer for my own little flock there in Port Hope, that when people come and worship with us, that every Sabbath day they know, well, we're going to hear Christ preach today. That's my desire. That's my desire. His only righteousness I show, his saving truth proclaim. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, Behold the Lamb. So there's John. John repeating his message. We notice also John and the response to his message. The Savior later promised that there would be a response to the lifting up of his name. What did Christ say? John 12, verse 32. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. as the promise of the Lord. And that's exactly what happened when John declared those words. Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Even though these were two of John's own disciples, yet they turned from John and they followed Jesus. We are given the name of them, verse 40. They all was probably John, the beloved disciple. But what we want to notice is the wording of verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. The two disciples went after Christ as a result of what John said about Christ. That's it. Here's a very precious lesson. It is the preaching, it is the promotion, it is the presenting of the Lord Jesus Christ that will draw men and women after him. Through what John saw, what John said about Christ, Andrew and John were drawn after the Savior. Just another reason why it is important that whatever we always preach Christ. For when we see him in his loveliness, we will be drawn to him. It's like seeing a beautiful rose in a garden. You look at that rose and it draws you to it. You want to examine it and see it a little closer and get a whiff of the fragrance. But sure, isn't Christ the rose of Sharon? And when people see the rose of Sharon and the one who is the lily of the valleys and the one who is the fairest of 10,000, they'll be drawn to him. Song of Solomon. The bride said, draw me, and we will run after thee. And the best way to draw men and women to Christ is to preach Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God. And may the Spirit of God help us, always help us to speak well of Christ, that you and others will be drawn after him, drawn to him. John repeated his message. So it meant whenever anyone went to hear John, they knew what they were going to hear. They're going to hear the preaching of Christ. And then there was the response to John's message, the response to his preaching of Christ. That leads us then to consider John and the result of his message. The message John preached did not end with two disciples following Christ. Look at 38 and 39, and Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, come and see. They came and they saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. What do we see here? John has preached, behold, the Lamb of God. And two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And when the Lord saw them following him, he turned and said unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? They wanted to be with him. He saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him. They abode with him. They spent time with the Lord Jesus. That was the result of this. They made a great discovery. When they abode with Christ, we read in verses 40 and 41, they discovered this is the Messiah. We have found him. Verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is to be, being interpreted, the Christ. As a result of John's ministry, two of his disciples followed Christ, had fellowship with Christ, and became familiar with him. There you have again the fruit of John's ministry. When John preached Christ, it wasn't a matter of just two men following the Lord and that was the end of the story. Not at all. No, we discover that the two men abode with Christ. And as they abode with him, they spent some time with him and they discovered this is the Messiah. In other words, those two disciples got to know more and more and more about Christ. And that was the result of John's ministry. Isn't that what we want to see? The preaching of Christ and those who listen to and hear the preaching of Christ, they in turn will become more familiar with the Lord. That's what it's all about. That was the ministry of John. So let's pray then that we all will be drawn into a deeper relationship with the Lord through hearing and listening to the preaching of Christ. And those two men became the Lord's disciples. Further fruit of John's ministry. We've considered the focus of John's ministry and the followers in John's ministry. We see the fruitfulness of John's ministry. Over in Matthew, in the chapter 21, there we read in verse 32. Matthew 21, verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. Those who believe not were the old Pharisees. But do you notice who did believe? Those who did believe, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. There you have the fruitfulness of John's ministry. Here we see that John's ministry, John's preaching of Christ, brought sinners to repentance. What do we have there in that verse 32 of Matthew? We have, first of all, the scarlet sinners, the harlots. I tell you, that's the kind of preaching will change lives. Make the drunkard sober. Make the harlot pure. of the blasphemer singing the praises of the Lord. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the message that will bring salvation to scarlet, deep-dyed, double-dyed sinners is the message that John preached. It is. What was the message? Behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away, taketh away the sin of the world. No, it's not philosophy. No, it's not the enticing words of man's wisdom that saves sinners. It's the preaching of Christ, always. And such preaching, and such a message, and such a Christ will save the deepest dyed sinners. Those words there in Matthew where publicans and harlots believed. And then there were those who didn't believe. Their religion got in their way, the Pharisees. And so as well as the scarlet sinners will come across the stubborn sinner. But no matter who's preaching, they preach Christ, and stubborn sinners may sit under the preaching of Christ for years. Does that mean the preacher gives up? Not at all. Continues to preach. And preach Christ. Happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp his name. Preach him to all and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb. John the Baptist was a preacher of Christ. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O our dear Lord and loving Father, we give thee thanks for the life and ministry of John the Baptist. Thank thee, Lord, for the message that he proclaimed day after day. Behold, the Lamb of God. And we rejoice, Lord, that that Lamb is still taking away sin. We pray, Lord, that any that have heard the word today and they're still laboring under a burden of sin, Lord, may they look to the Lamb of God by faith. Trust him. Say, Lord Jesus, save me now. I repent of my sin. And we believe, Lord, their sins will be taken away. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts, we pray. Be with us now this rest of the Sabbath day. Bless us, Lord, and keep us all safe and well and healthy. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now. And until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away and we see the King in his majesty and his glory. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.